Every species of beast and bird or reptile or sea creature can be tamed, James says, and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. James is not mincing his words. He sees the destruction. He sees the hurtful things people say. He sees the casualties of broken relationships, bullying, slander, and gossip. And he gives the perfect illustration about the reality of the human tongue. No one can tame it. It's a jungle out there, James tells us. And tongues are running wild. Tongues are tearing things up and tearing things down. Tongues are spitting poison and spreading poison. Tongues are running around without boundaries or accountability. And apparently, things have not changed in the course of these nearly 2,000 years since James wrote these words. That's a long time to try to domesticate the tongue. We haven't done it yet. It's a wild beast. We've trained dolphins in the U.S. Navy. We've trained homing pigeons to deliver our mail. We've trained dogs to lead the blind and to sniff out bombs. But we have utterly failed to train that little, red, squishy, wet muscle that resides in our very own mouths. We bless and we curse with the same organ. And James says, it is so, but it ought not to be so. We cannot help ourselves. We know in our brain that it is wrong to judge, to gossip, to slander, to tear people down with our words. And even though our brain is just within inches of our tongue, we cannot put a leash on it. We cannot put a muzzle on it, on that feral creature. The book of Proverbs is rich with reminders of how God wants us to tame our tongues. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but the person of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes around slandering reveals secrets, but the one who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. When there are many words, sin is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. And my favorite, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When they close their lips, they are deemed intelligent. Or as one person put it, better to keep your mouth shut and appear stupid than to open and remove all doubt. It is our tongues that betray us, because at the root of our tongues is the sin of our hearts and the palpable evil of this world, which James says is set afire by hell, by Gehenna itself. Our tongues are not just difficult to control or restrain or rein in. James says it is impossible. No one can tame the tongue, he says. But of course, what is impossible for humans is possible for God. A few weeks ago, I took my kids to see the movie Alpha, which I highly recommend. It's a movie based on archaeological evidence that scientists estimate is 24,000 years old in a cave in modern-day France. There are two sets of footprints walking side by side. One is of an 8 to 10-year-old child, and the other a full-grown wolf. The movie is about the relationship between a wild wolf and a boy. I promise not to spoil the movie. But one beautiful thing about the story is how the boy tames the wolf, and the wolf tames the boy. The key to their leaving their wild instincts behind is survival. They are better off working together for their mutual good than they are fighting one another to stay alive. We have been able to tame wild animals because we can show them that there is a benefit to that relationship. James is saying, the tongue has no benefit to obey or to be helpful to us. Or as Jesus says to Peter in our gospel, his tongue is wagging because of Satan and not himself. James wants us to see that we are better off working together for our mutual good, to bless and to build one another up with our words. We should ask ourselves every time we open our mouths, does this build up or does it tear down? Is it set afire by hell, or is it the Holy Spirit come down from heaven? It is truly a jungle out there. Ask our junior high students in our congregation. Life is difficult enough. There are plenty of adversaries out there. Why add to their number? Why let our tongues run wild? The reality is that the tongue has tamed us. We're on its leash. And we truly cannot help ourselves. Our own hearts are held captive by sin and the venom that comes spewing out of our mouths. It ought not to be so, James tells us. Every week that I preach, I stand before the altar and face it, and I say, oh Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You'll remember that Pentecost was the day that God did not just tame the tongue. He gave new tongues, fiery tongues, set aflame by the Holy Spirit. God's people were able to speak in various tongues, languages, and dialects, and what they did was they proclaimed the mighty acts of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. They blessed, and they did not curse their neighbor. They drew people into the kingdom, not driving them away. If somebody should happen upon us and come into this building and hear us not speaking well of each other and gossiping about one another, they will run away and never come back, just as if they had visited a hornet's nest. That is why the Holy Spirit comes to us and why God sent him to enter our lives through holy baptism and the Word of God. Every time we hear it read or preached faithfully, He helps us use these little organs in our mouths for blessing and not for cursing, to build up and not tear down, to glorify God, not profane our neighbor. Even when Jesus was dying on the cross, He used His tongue for the glory of God and the benefit of His neighbor. Blessing and not cursing, even when He was the victim of an unjust crucifixion. Even though He could have called an army of angels with that tongue to level His enemies, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." When Jesus died, He did not just die to set us free from the consequences of our sins and living in an evil and a deadly world. He died to free us from their power, to set us free from the leash our tongues have us on. In Him, we're made new, body, soul, and tongue. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.